Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast presented by The Green Solution. Make sure to visit any one of their 17 Colorado locations or go online to mygreensolution.com. Use that promo code DNVR20 to get 20% off your entire purchase. I am your host, Drew Kreisman. I am the managing editor of DNVR Rockies, and on this episode, we are going to follow up our conversation on Scott Oberg with a discussion of the life and times, the career of Carlos Estevez, not to be confused with Carlos Estevez, who you know better by his show name of Charlie Sheen. Of course, we are speaking of the Colorado Rockies reliever, though I suppose a career retrospective of Charlie Sheen would also be interesting. Probably not what you clicked on this podcast to hear. So, as we sit here on this day in late December, Estevez is 26 years old. He will pitch the 2020 season at age 27. In fact, he'll turn 27 just a few days from now of this recording. So it'll be fully his age 27 season. He's been in the Rockies organization since he was 17 years old. And as I mentioned, you know, I wanted to do this on the heels. I considered whether or not I should do two relievers in a row for variety's sake. And, you know, I've kind of been trying to purposefully jump around between players who've kind of had good and to great seasons versus players who've struggled a little bit more. But I really think these two players' conversations belong close together because Estevez has had an intriguing career to this point, and I still think there's a lot of varying opinions about what this guy is eventually going to be. What is his MLB career really going to look like when we look back on it? So, as we've done with each of them, let's go back to the very beginning, to 2011, just his very beginning of the, obviously being involved with the Rockies. Like a lot of these guys, probably my audience would be most familiar with Raimel Tapia, signed before the age of 18 as part of the Rockies Dominican League and played his first couple of seasons out there before coming stateside. This has been something that for a while was producing a pretty solid pipeline of players for the Rockies. And forgive me if any of these came from elsewhere. I'm just sort of going off of recollection. This wasn't the big part of the conversation, but just as I'm remembering, Ubaldo Jimenez, Franklin Morales, Willene Rosario. There was a minute there where the Rockies were getting a whole lot from this pipeline, and then not so much for kind of the early 2010s. And they've been searching for ways to get more and more out of it. Tapia and Estevez are, you know, trying to break through still, though, to this point. But his first year in the Dominican, which tends to be a pretty pitcher-friendly league, you know, he didn't blow the doors down at all. In fact, 34 innings with a 3.44 ERA, and the next year, 54 innings with a 4.14 ERA. So for a guy who, you know, they weren't entirely sure, he's always been a reliever. He, at least as a professional, he hasn't been a starter. So there's kind of been a limit to his ceiling for that reason. I met Carlos Estevez the following year, 2013. So this is actually his third year as a professional. He's got, you know, about 80 innings pitched under his belt at this point. Not really blowing the doors down, though the strikeout numbers were okay. He had a 715 and a 629, not great. The walk numbers were, again, okay. 371 down to a 215, so you like some of that progress there in terms of his control. Out in Grand Junction, another 35.2 innings with a 379 ERA. So again, nowhere near dominance. We're not talking about, you know, Scott Oberg, who despite being a 15th round pick, showed up in the pros and immediately just started blowing guys away. With Estevez at this point, and I recall, you know, he wasn't closing. I'm not even sure he was setting up at this point. For the most part, he was pitching sixth and seventh innings, and he was kind of a, you know, get us out of a jam guy. They saw the swing and miss capabilities. I think they saw the big body at 6 foot six, like 270. He's a big, big kid. He's not so much a kid anymore, but, you know, and I always reflect on how funny this is. We used him primarily that season as a translator for other Spanish-speaking ballplayers who didn't speak English. That was one of the things is, you know, Estevez speaks fluent English. He's a great, big, fun guy to be around. Great ambassador. Everybody on the team loves him, but, you know, honestly, my recollection of him at the time was this guy's going to be one of those great minor league ball players that unfortunately, you know, not a lot of people are going to get to know because he's just given up a little bit too much contact. He's getting hurt a little bit. If you're going to be a reliever and make it to the major leagues, typically you've got to dominate a bit throughout the lower minor levels or at least be a closer and at least be finishing out ball games, but zero saves. To this point in his career, he has not recorded a save through now three seasons of pitching in the pros. Now, he did get bumped up that year too and pitch a little bit in Asheville, but just for a couple of innings. Interestingly enough, the Rockies jumped him over that level. Clearly, they saw potential in this guy. There was something in the mechanics of what he was doing that was working out that they thought was really going to go to the next level once he fulfilled, you know, more of his body promise. Again, I met him in 2013. He was 19 years old. He was tall and you could see he was going to fill out, but he wasn't this kind of thick beast that he is today. But I think that they could see it was there. And I also think that they could see he had the right attitude and he had the desire to win and that he wasn't getting shaken by any kind of moment. Those teams for, you know, in 2013, that Grand Junction squad went to their version of the postseason. Most of the teams that Estevez played on throughout his minor league career alongside guys like David Dahl, Ryan McMahon, Raimel Tapia. This is kind of a group that moved together. And there are a number of other notables in there as well. Even guys like Jordan Patterson, you know, who's had his cup of coffee in the big leagues. These were very competitive, very good minor league teams. And Estevez became kind of a glue member of all of that. So they jumped him up to A ball. He barely got to pitch in Asheville at all. Again, very similar to Scott Oberg, who I don't think ever got to pitch in Asheville. Poor Carlos Estevez was limited to just 3.2 innings, but at least he got to go out to McCormick Field and stand on some hallowed ground. But goes, you know, up to A ball the next year. 2014 pitches fantastically, even though the overall ERA was not good at 4.73. Again, they saw in the peripherals here what was going to be, first of all, it's an offensive league, but second of all, an 8.44 strikeout ratio, which is all right, but a 1.86. If you're over 8 with your strikeouts and you're under 2 with your walks per 9, your peripherals are starting to suggest, yeah, okay, this is a guy who's going to miss some bats, and if we just get some things mechanically right, if we sharpen them up just a bit, I think we're going to like what we're going to see. And then all of a sudden, Estevez's career took off. This was one of the most amazing examples of hurry up and wait. And I wrote a big article about this just after he made his debut because Now, all of a sudden, you know, he comes back. He's only pitched as high as single A ball. And that year was almost a 5 ERA. So there weren't a lot of people going, you know, within a year, this guy is going to be closing out. He has not recorded a save still. Now we're 4 professional seasons in, and Carlos Estevez has not yet recorded a save. And his career ERA is sitting in the high threes, low fours, you know, but the peripherals are starting to look good. Okay, so he shows up in 2015. You know, I believe he's going to be around age 21 here now. And he goes out to Modesto, and he throws 19 innings, 19.2, so 20 innings of absolute domination. He has a strikeout rate of 11.44 per nine, a walk rate of 2.29, and an ERA of 1.37. He doesn't give up a single home run in 20 innings. He picks up the first 5 saves of his career. And they jump him up to the AA level. They say it looks like it might be coming together for this guy. He's growing into his body. The peripherals have gotten better, which has now led to a dramatic reduction in the amount of runs he's giving up. He's starting to blow by these kids at this level. Let's challenge him. They jump him up to the AA level. He finishes out that season by making 34 appearances in AA, 36 innings. And again, the peripherals are fantastic. The ERA does lag behind again. So, you know, it's this constant reminder of having to look deeper into the numbers, look at the person, look at the body, look at what's going on, look at the level of competition, and figure out, and this is why I put it with the Scott Ober conversation, how you can make this guy better to get even more out of him at this level. So what happens with these final 36 innings at AA? A 4.50 ERA. So not terrible, but not good. A dramatic step back from the 1.37 he was putting up at the level just before it, right? But high A to double A, a lot of times they'll say that's other than triple A to the majors, that's the most difficult jump that you can make in the minors. But the peripherals, again, remain remarkably encouraging with a 10.75 strikeout per nine rate and a 2.25 walk per nine rate. Like, that is ideal Carlos Estevez. And if you're really into it, you can also take a look at his FIP and XFIP from AA, which are numbers we have now, if those are the things you're in. So a 4.50 ERA, but his FIP was 2.44, his XFIP was 2.60. When you pair that with his strikeout rate being so high and his walkout rate and his walk rate being so low, it's perfectly understandable why in 2016 he began the year in AAA and only pitched 5 innings there before the Rockies called him up to make his major league debut at 23 years old in 2016, because you saw it all coming together for this guy. In, you know, you convert a couple of these outs behind him on balls in play, people are not making good contact on him. He's not giving up home runs. He's missing bats. He's not giving away free bases. And so they call him up to the big leagues. And this was, if you'll recall, kind of a desperation move for the Rockies at the time. Walt Weiss was in charge of a bullpen that was in absolute shambles. The team was hanging around because Nolan Arenado is very good and Trevor Story was taking the world by storm. Charlie Blackmon is very good. Some of the starting pitching that season, at least at the beginning, was okay. And so the Rockies were trying to figure out a way to patch up this bullpen that was completely falling apart with guys like Jason Mott and Chad Qualls, who were sort of the Brian Shaw and Jake McGee of their day. See, trying to sign guys who've been really good. Anyway, you get the idea. From outside the organization, it just doesn't work as well as what happens here. So, yeah, okay. So Estevez ends up having to pitch 55 innings and appear in 63 games. Now, again, this is why I think it's good to do these whole career retrospectives. His career high in number of games appeared in came the year before, in 2015, and was 48 between the two levels with a promotion in there. And now he's pitching in 63 games at the big league level. So a much, much bigger just workload in general. There's more times pitching baseballs, but also far more stress because it's the big leagues. The hitters are way better. You know, all the things that come with that. So the other thing that was crazy was he came up having now, and I think I left the save total from his solid finish in AA off. He had 13. So now you're looking at a guy who's got 18 saves in his minor league career. That's it, 18. And he picked them all up in 2015. I split the year again. So he didn't have a single save before the year 2015. He picks up 18 of them that year. Few innings in AAA. Then he comes up, makes his major league debut. He's pitching well in the sixth. Then he's pitching well in the seventh. Then he's pitching well in the eighth. And the Rockies' bullpen fell apart so much that less than 1 year from him being in high A Modesto. And again, this is not a guy who came in with a ton of pedigree. He was just sort of signed as a kid in the Dominican. Hadn't even really been a closer. Now he's the Colorado Rockies closer. And actually the beginning of it, he was fantastic. He picked up 11 saves. He really did for a moment stabilize as a rookie the Colorado Rockies bullpen, but then he had a very famous sort of four-game implosion. Teams caught up to him a bit. He coughed up some games in a stretch that really did, you know, was kind of the straw that broke the Rockies back for that season. They were unlikely to really compete that year anyway, but they were in it midway through that summer. And unfortunately for Estevez, who had been forced into a position that, you know, really is pretty unfair if in the grand scheme of things. Now, on the one hand, it's pretty great to get an opportunity to close ball games as a rookie, and nobody's going to say no to that. On the other hand, you know, some of this stuff is a tall order to ask of him. So he ended up with a 5.24 ERA, not great. The strikeouts were there at 9.65 per nine, so that translated at the big league level. You're liking that. But you could also see the timidness of not wanting to fail in his first stint at the big leagues, walking 4.58 per nine, way higher than at any other time in his career in the minors, by far the worst walk rate of his career, actually, to this day. He's not even approached a 4.58, but that first year, you know, thrown out there in a closer's role at Coors Field, trying not to make mistakes, he got a little bit too fine. But I really do see that first year for Estevez as a massive success. Even a 5.24 ERA, in a vacuum, that's not good. For a rookie, picking up the ninth inning most of the times at Coors Field, and, you know, that's not too shabby. If the Rockies had literally anyone else who could have closed out ball games that year, Estevez probably would have been this godsend of a setup man who could have powered that team into a surprise wild card spot. Maybe. I still don't think the 2016 Rockies get there, but it was really too bad that this kid who had kind of saved their bullpen then blew some games that really were right when the season came apart for them. And then things got really, really frustrating for Carlos Estevez. I've got to tell you about my friends over at Mile High Green Cross. They've got award-winning products, and you can check out this year's Cannabis Cup winners when you head to their website. Mile High Green Cross offers a variety of CBD products from edibles to concentrates to cartridges. They pride themselves on their customer service, and it shows. Every single time you pop in, you will receive one-on-one attention with one of their seasoned sales associates. They've got everyday low prices on in-house products such as $99 pre-pack ounces and V3 hash oil bulk deals, 5 cartridges for $100. Mile High Green Cross offers out-the-door pricing. What they advertise is what you pay. And if you don't have cash, it's not a problem because they now accept Hyper, which even better is the amount of time you spend at the dispensary. On average, it's only 9 minutes from the time you walk in to the time you walk out. Super important for all of us in these crazy and hectic lifestyles. They are informative, they're speedy, so head downtown today and check out Mile High Green Cross. They are conveniently located on 9th and Broadway, and they also offer parking in the back. Make sure to tell them who sent you. So, back with our guy, Carlos Estevez, who must have, and I know this because I've spoken with him many times, come into the 2017 season with a lot of hope and promise, and you know, kind of an understanding that Bud Black had been brought in, Greg Holland had been brought in, these other guys, you know, I think Jake McGee kind of had come along in the time. There were these other people who were expected to close out ball games, but Estevez was going to be counted on for some high leverage, later inning, potentially set up type of situations. And I think he was ready for that. I think he was really ready to savor it, but some other things went on that, you know, I think are an indictment both of the organization and a bit of him in this step back season, because my understanding of it is, and we've written on this before, that the Rockies, I think in an attempt to try to take him to the next level, collectively came to him and tried to iron a couple of things out, seeing that the walk rate was so high, and also that he had really had some trouble keeping runners on, tried to get him to make a change in his delivery. And he agreed to do it and kind of lost himself a little bit. He still had some decent peripherals out of the gate in 2017, but overall, he was getting bit by the home run, and he was just giving up too many runs. He was getting big strikeouts, and the walks were down a little bit to 390. But he was sitting there, you know, at the end of the season, his ERA was 557 over 32.1 innings. And he basically began the season with the Rockies and built up most of that 557 ERA. In fact, I think, you know, he had to be sent down with an 8 or something like that. And continued to struggle just a little bit in the minors, and then kind of had a face-to-face with the coaches and the organization and said, you know, I'm just not comfortable with this delivery. I can't, you know, maybe I'm not letting runners steal second as easily, but everything else just doesn't feel right. I feel like I'm thinking about my delivery. I feel like I'm trying to place the ball rather than throw it. I feel like I'm losing my velocity and my bite and my competitive edge a little bit. And there was, you know, some back and forth about it. I do think it was a little bit contentious. And I think the Rockies made a mistake in ever asking him to do that in the first place. And if they just left him alone, 2017 could have been a much more successful season for the club, because as soon as they let him go back to his old delivery, he began to dominate. By the end of having spent 33 innings back in AAA working this stuff out, going back to his old delivery, he pitched, like I said, 33.2 innings, a 1.34 ERA. He's striking out 9.09 per nine and walking 2.67. Again, ideal Carlos Estevez numbers. That's what you want. Strikeouts over nine, walks under three, and then you let the ERA fall where it may. Sometimes it's going to be really good. Sometimes it's going to be a little bit more, depending on when the home runs come, because he brings the heat, and sometimes guys are going to run into that. But as soon as they got him back to this old delivery, he was back on track to improving those peripherals and getting the kind of results that the Rockies want to see out of him. He came up at the end of that season when, and I mentioned this again in the Oberg episode, people forget how awful Adam Ottavino was in 2017. And Greg Holland, for the first 2 months, had been so good as the Rockies closer. In fact, I think he was Rolaid's reliever of the month, like 2 or 3 months in a row to begin the season. That's how good Greg Holland was in 2017. And the Rockies were getting a good Jake McGee that year, but everything else was super shaky, especially Ottavino. And Estevez emerged at the end of the season after all of this. after so much frustration, butting heads with the coaching staff, more or less saying, I have to go back to my old delivery, please, and them relenting, and then it working, he comes out last month, September of 2017, and he becomes Bud Black's go-to right-hander out of the bullpen for tough spots. He's going to him to face Jesus Aguilar, Giancarlo Stanton, and he's striking these guys out, and he's dominating these right-handers to the extent that Carlos Estevez was brought to the postseason game, the wild card game in Arizona, and Adam Ottavino was not. And Estevez pitched in that game, and he pitched well. I don't have those numbers in front of me. I'd have to, let me see if Baseball Reference, I can go to his postseason statistics, but I'm pretty sure he did fairly well in his one postseason appearance. Let's see. Against Arizona. Oh, he pit. No, well, no, not so much. Looks like he faced one batter and gave up a hit, and that guy came around to score. So that didn't really, it wasn't much of anything. But anyway, the point here is that he was brought, and so while his 5.57 ERA at the end of the 2017 campaign, not especially encouraging, when you realize in about a month, he was able to take it from an 8.50 ERA down to that 5.57 by dominating in important games that ultimately got the Rockies into the wild card, and that he was, you know, only counted on to pitch to one guy. He didn't get out in that game, but still, again, coming from all of these obstacles standing in his way, Estevez was able to overcome. But then things got way, way, way more frustrating. And yeah, so, okay, before we get into all of this, I've got to remind you about our friends over at Green Mountain Dental, because as you may or may not know, taking care of your teeth is pretty darn important, and they are giving away a free Sonicare toothbrush when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, or exam. That's right, you simply have to take care of your teeth with Green Mountain Dental Group to hand over a free Sonicare. Check them out today online or call 303-988-0711 to schedule your appointment today. So, as any of you who've listened to this podcast regularly know, I've been particularly frustrated this offseason with the narrative that in 2017 and 2018, the Colorado Rockies were inordinately lucky. And in 2019, they just were who they were, who they are. And one of the reasons why I struggle with that, I hear people say things like this. In what way did the Rockies have anything bad go against them in 2018? They won 91 games with a run differential that suggested they should have won 84 games. And the Dodgers should have won 103, but they only won 91. So the Rockies were basically 25 games worth of lucky. Now, I'm not saying stuff like this doesn't happen to other teams. What I am saying is that the notion that the Rockies didn't have any important pitchers missing because their starting rotation was largely healthy leaves out the fact that Carlos Estevez, who we've just discussed, had been really coming into his own, and even though 17 had been so frustrating for the first 3 or 4 months of it, if you look at the way it ended and you combine that with everything he had done in his career to that point and the fact that he's still relatively young, he should be in line to be a major factor in 2018, right? Did not pitch a single inning for the Colorado Rockies Major League Baseball Club because of a freak injury that occurred in spring training, basically threw out his oblique in the dugout, you know, not doing a baseball activity, and couldn't get his back right until too late in the season when he couldn't get well enough in time to actually come up to the big league club and contribute. He only pitched 28 innings in the minors at AAA with sort of a classic good peripherals, bad results, Carlos Estevez line. He's striking out 11.12 per nine innings, walking 3.49 with an ERA of 6.35, but an xFIP of 3.79. So how much of it was bad defense behind him? Now, he was giving up some bad home runs, though that's been more and more of a thing in the minors lately and the juice balls and all of that, of course. He had never been especially home run prone. I mean, I had mentioned that he brings the heat, so sometimes that happens, but he had never had a home run rate over one per nine. His highest before that in 2016 as a rookie had been 0.98. So to see him at AAA give up 191, that's almost two home runs per nine innings, was a little bit eye-popping. But of course, the sad tale is that the Rockies won 91 games and weren't able to get a single contribution from this guy who very clearly is able to get out big league, I mean big league hitters like Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton and Jesus Aguilar. He'd become Bud Black's go-to guy in late high leverage innings for those situations. And so to get zero from him in a year where one win here or there would have given the Rockies the division, I think counts as a little bit of bad luck, in my view. I don't know. Maybe I could be way out on a limb there. But for me, it is incredibly unlucky for the 2018 Colorado Rockies that they weren't able to get anything out of this young man who quite clearly was becoming a staple in the bullpen. And if you don't believe that, how about what he was able to accomplish the following season? His age 26 year, this last campaign we all watched, he pitched 72 innings, by far a career high, appeared in 71 games, again, almost 10 more than his career high, to a 3.75 ERA, 10.13 strikeouts per nine, 2.88 walks per. Ideal, Carlos Estevez. Now, the 150, now this is where we get into interesting conversation about what were the juiced baseballs? How much is everyone giving up a little bit more in terms of home runs and therefore ERA? And what do you think of these peripherals? But if we're looking at the guy's overall career, which if you've been paying attention this whole time, that is what we've been doing, there's a pretty strong case to be made that when Carlos gets himself to these types of peripherals, strikeouts in the 9 or 10 range, walks under 3, preferably under 2, but you also see positive movement when he's healthy every time, except for that weird time where they messed with his delivery. So am I saying Estevez is going to come out next year and throw to a 2.80 ERA and strike out 11 guys per and walk 2.12? No, but what I am saying is that's not an unreasonable thing to think could happen at age 27, as he's basically right now at the apex of his physical prime. He just became a father this last season, and he is just adorable as a father, I have to say. It's really sweet to see him beam about his daughter. And I when I look at Carlos Estevez, especially if the home run rate of 150 per nine, 1.5 home runs per nine innings is in some way related to that baseball, which I think a lot of it was for a lot of guys, but still, even then, a 3.75 ERA out of a Coors Field reliever, if everyone in the bullpen put up these numbers, right, the Rockies would have had a successful 2019, even with some of what went on, or all of what went on, in the starting rotation, right? Estevez has, I think, pretty clearly emerged as a central figure in the Rockies' bullpen. Yes, relievers are volatile. There's just as much reason to believe that this could all fall apart for him, but there is far more evidence in the corner of when Estevez is right and going well, he just is hard to hit. He just has the stuff to succeed. And I think we've seen a big enough sample size at the big league level now of him missing bats that at the very least, you feel like you've got a floor here of a guy who can pick up the sixth and seventh inning for you really nicely, and you feel confident about it, with the ceiling of, yes, a guy who could still be a closer in Major League Baseball one day. Remember, Scott Oberg didn't even become in any way partially reliable until he was 27. And that's the age Estevez is going into now. He's already logged more experience and success at the big league level than Oberg had to this point in his career. And I do think that from a mentality standpoint, Estevez is one of those guys who's always going to play up because he's not scared. He likes the big moment. He wants to get the guy. Since that first year when the walk rate was high, as we talked about, it just hasn't been. A 288 walks per nine this last year. Estevez is coming at guys, and he's only growing in his confidence. So, you know, will the league make an adjustment to him if they start to see him as a real threat? Has he been sneaking up on people to this point? I think that's a very legitimate conversation to have. That could be a little bit of what happens and goes the other way. One thing I've also noticed, too, is he tends to give up relatively high BABIP, which probably has something to do with his velocity. But even this last year, guys were hitting 304 on balls in play against him, which is just, you know, some logic would tell you that that should come down a little bit, but some logic also says, well, he's providing them with power, so when they do get the barrel to it, there's going to be zip on the baseball. I would think that those numbers are similar for power pitchers across the league, but he's gotten much better at leaving guys on base. He had a career best in terms of ground ball rate this last year. That's actually wrong. He had a career worst rate, which is really interesting in terms of ground ball rate. So that goes the other way. He was only getting 38% ground balls in 2019. If he can get that back to his career number of 42%, that could limit a few more of these home runs. There's a lot left to unlock here with Estevez. And I just find him to be one of the most fascinating guys on the roster. And he's the perfect example of somebody that a national writer or a national analyst wouldn't think about when looking in on this team and projecting what they're capable of in 2020. And so while I don't think you should just completely dismiss, you know, the analysis of anybody who's not here covering the team daily, I do think, especially when it comes to some of the, I'm not going to belabor the point, but some of the, you know, the rumors about should they trade Nolan Arenado or even like should they trade John Gray. I feel like we should create a test for any national writers. Like, if you're going to talk about the Rockies making fundamental shifts in their organization, can you give me three facts about Carlos Estevez? Right? I think that would be like a fair test because this is an important player on the roster. There is a non-zero chance that Carlos Estevez is the most important reliever for the Colorado Rockies in 2020. If Oberg has a little bit of a step back, could Estevez become the closer? Abso-freaking-lutely he can. He's won his manager's confidence. He's won his own confidence. The peripherals are there. If he takes one more step forward at the age of 27, which should not be considered hope or prayer or randomness or belief or closing your eyes and you know, it's helping this player continue on his path of improvement that his coaches, and it hasn't always been linear, and we've seen, you know, don't make the mistake again. Don't tell him to change up his delivery. You can't do that. You've got to help him continue to improve on what's been working for him. But if they do that, and at age 27, Carlos Estevez has the best year of his career to this point. Yes, that can mean massive positive things for the Colorado Rockies, whose terrible bullpen in 2019 was a big big reason why they went from 91 wins to 71 wins. Esteves, now, they did have him for much of that. They can increase his role and they can get more out of him. And that's a way you get more wins out of the players you've already got on your roster. This is one of the guys who I think is going to be in that category of helping the Rockies get better because he's going to be better. Could go the other way. I'm taking the over on Carlos Esteves for sure. So I want to thank you all for tuning in to this episode, career retrospective of Carlos Esteves. Let me know who you'd like to hear do one of these. What kind of grammar did I trap myself in there? Let me hear which player you would like to hear a career retrospective on next. You can hit me up on Twitter at Drew Kreisman, at DNVR underscore Rockies, or you can tell Patrick Lyons if you want, at Patrick D. Lyons. Hit us up on Facebook or email me, Drew, at thednvr.com. Whatever you do, just make sure you're subscribing, you're following along. If you didn't yet get some shirts, if you missed it for the holidays, still time to get some cool shirts. We got some good new ones, so make sure you're checking out all of that stuff. Otherwise, I can just hope that you continue to be absolutely awesome. I'm really good at this, I promise. I've podcasted before. I can only promise you that I will continue to be Drew Kreisman. And until next time, I will see you at the ballpark.
Hey guys, I was just sitting here talking to Lindsay about Total Bev's new app. It's incredible. You can shop 5,000 different wines, 2,000 beers, 3,500 spirits, anytime, anywhere. Better yet, you can have Total Beverage shop for you and pick it up inside prepaid and waiting for you.
Wait a second, that is so cool. So can I still get it delivered if I use the app?
Absolutely. I know you guys have heard of their delivery service. Total Beverage will deliver to your house within 90 minutes or less. We can even save you $10 on a purchase of $50. Use promo code TOTALLY10 at checkout.
What's also amazing, BSN fam, if you can't find an item you want, Total Bev will give you suggestions of similar items on the shelf. Or you can request a special item right from your phone.
It really doesn't get much better than that. Remember, use promo code TOTALLY10 at checkout to save. That's TOTALLY10.